Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to you today. We need you like we've never needed you before. So Lord, I pray that in these next few moments that you might tune our ears into your voice. I pray, oh God, that you would stand in my body and think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Cause us to hear truth that will transform the way that we think, the way that we behave, the way that we even view ourselves in light of your truth as you reveal in your word. So Lord, to that end, I'm available to you now. Anoint me afresh. Use me for your glory so that people might hear you and be changed by what you say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, listen, I'm continuing this series that I kicked off last Sunday on unworthy because many of us in the body of Christ, we have such a low opinion of ourselves. We think certain things that happen in life that we deserved it, that we brought it on ourselves, certain things that God blesses us with, we don't think that we deserve to be blessed because we have internalized the truth. Listen to me, the truth of our own unworthiness in the eyes of God. We have internalized it to the point that it affects our mental health, it affects our relationships and how we interact with other people and how we view the world because we see ourselves as unworthy. So today I want to deal with it from the idea, from the perspective of election interference. Now, that's been a buzzword that we've had in our culture here in America for a while. Matter of fact, all of these new voting restriction laws are being passed in several states, including ours, because it's been told, it's been rumored that there's a pretext that somebody messed with and interfered in the election, the way that we've chosen our leaders and our state representatives and our U.S. senators and our president and our dog catchers and whoever else. And so we're so worried about election interference that somebody would mess with the way things and the way people have been chosen. But I want to kind of take a spin on that and let's look at a different kind of election interference. And let me show it to you. You're going to have to keep your Bible open today, but just kind of walk with me and let's look at this. First thing I want you to do is I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. I'm going to be reading it from the New Living Translation, but I'm also going to flip back and forth to some New King James stuff. So it might look different from what you've got in your Bible, but I promise you I've done all of the work. I've studied the Greek and all the stuff. It all means the same. So watch this. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, in the New Living Translation, he says, God the Father knew you and still chose you. The New King James says that you are the elect. He chose you long ago, and his spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Go back and look at that. He says that God knew us and still elected us. The idea of election here is the idea of we have been chosen, handpicked by God, knowing what he knew about us, knowing where we came from, knowing our mom and them, even knowing what we would do, knowing what decisions and mistakes we would make, knowing all of that ahead of time, he still chose us, that we have been elected, chosen by the sovereign choice of God's grace. That there were some factors involved in this choice, in this election. The first one I want you to see is that it's a sovereign choice. He says God knew you and still chose you. He still elected you. He has decided to do the work of sanctification through his spirit. He's doing the work of cleaning us up, but he chose us, watch this, while we were still dirty. He chose us while we were still messed up and broken. Somebody that you almost can raise your hand and say amen right off down through there. It was his sovereign choice. That there's no other reason to explain why it is that God would look at us knowing our faults, knowing our issues, knowing the truth of what we would do, and yet he still sovereignly by the counsel of his own will, he chose us. But not only that, there's another factor in that. If you go look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 in the New King James, it says that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. that it wasn't just his sovereign choice, but there was some foreknowledge. He knew some things ahead of time. He knew some things that were hidden. He knew some things that we don't even know ourselves yet. He knew it back yonder, and it was one of the things that he used in why he chose us. We have been chosen based upon his understanding of what we don't understand. It's his foreknowledge that has given him the design and the desire to sovereignly choose us. Now, the Bible never really centers on or focuses on who isn't chosen, because it's more about who is chosen. You and I have been chosen by God to be his sons and daughters. We have been chosen by God to be saved. We have been chosen by God to have our eternity secured. We have been chosen by God to be in this time, in this place, at this time. All of that was done by God's sovereign choice. But not only that, there was another factor that was involved. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 5 and 6 from the New King James translation. I'm using a whole lot of Bible to try to prove something. Romans 11, verses 5 through 6, Paul says, "Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, then it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." Watch this. Let me break all of that down. He says that we have been elected. We've been chosen by God simply by God's grace. It wasn't what we did. We didn't earn it. Somebody needs to take that mentality that you have to do everything right for God to bless you. You have to do everything. You have to be completely righteous and holy in order for God to be for you to have favored status with God. You need to take that out of your vocabulary. You need to take that out of your thinking, out of your psyche, because the Bible is clear that we were elected, we were chosen for no other reason by grace. It's not anything that we did. We didn't earn it. We weren't even smart enough to choose it. It was simply a work of God's grace. Now, again, we're not focusing on who isn't chosen. We're talking about you, why he chose you, why he chose me. He did it by his sovereign choice, by his foreknowledge, and by his grace. Now, there were some factors that didn't enter into this decision for him. And the first one was, you saw it right there, it's not works. Our works and what we would do and what we would accomplish and who we would be and our spiritual prayer language and our spiritual gifts and how holy we could act, none of that was a factor in why he chose us. He didn't choose us because he knew we would do good works. He chose us by his grace, and then by his spirit is pointing out how we can get to the works. So I need somebody to take pressure off yourself and relax and quit trying to perform for the favor of God. You weren't chosen because of your good works. You weren't even chosen because of good sense. Watch this. Jesus says this in John 15, verse 16. I love this. He's while they're at the communion table we talked about last, while they were there at that Passover meal, Jesus says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." Jesus said, "You didn't even have enough sense to choose me. I chose you. I came after you. I saw you in need of a savior. I saw you in need of my favor. I saw you in need of what you would need from me by my spirit to get through life. And I chose you before you ever chose me." We love him, 1 John says, because he first loved us. He came after us. He chased us down. I can tell you a whole story about the things that I did, because there was something in me that wanted to be with Lady Bree, and I took steps to chase her down where she would know my name so that when the time came, she would want to choose me. That's what God says he did. He says, "I chose you. And then I went after you and I pursued you." What you would do and who you are and your good sense to choose me did not factor into why I have chosen you. Not only that, but I love this part. What didn't factor into why he chose us was our past. Now, somebody get ready to shout right off down to here. Let me show you 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Watch what he says. This is one of the main reasons why I like Paul. Paul has a lot that he says that makes me not like him, but I like this that he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although he put me in this, he called me to this, he enables me to do this, but formerly," he says in verse 13, "I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and an insolent or an angry man. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace," there's our word again, "the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance," he says, "that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And how do I know that? Because I'm the biggest one. I am example A of the sinners that Jesus came to save. He says, "But because he knew I was a sinner, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern, as an example to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Did you see that? Paul says, he chose me knowing what I was. He chose me in spite of my past. He didn't factor in how jacked up I was and then decide, well, maybe we shouldn't. He didn't look at our resume to choose us. He didn't look at our past. He didn't look at who we were. He simply chose us. You need to know that you have been chosen sovereignly by the grace, foreknowledge, and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been chosen by the Father, empowered by the Spirit. You are the living representation of the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ every time somebody sees you. So you cannot walk with your head down. You cannot walk in this situation where you beat yourself up and you destroy your own mental health, dogging yourself out about what you... Listen, he knows all that you and I are not, but he still chose us. So that begs the question, well, what is it that disrupts us from walking in and appreciating and living out the confidence of what it means to be chosen by God? It's election interference, plain and simple. It's us interfering with our own election and our own choosing by God. Well, Pastor, how do you know this? Well, watch this little vignette I'm going to show you from the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. The scene is Peter is on the roof of this town in Joppa, and he's praying. And in this, while he's praying, he sees this vision. And this vision is of this sheet with all kinds of animals, both those that were clean and able to eat according to the Old Testament Jewish law, and the some that were not. And look what happens in Acts chapter 10, verse 13. "And a voice came to Peter and says, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.'" Now, there's some stuff he could eat. There's some stuff he couldn't. So verse 14, Peter says, "Not so, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." I'm not going to mess with the stuff that is unworthy for me to eat. "And that voice spoke to him again the second time and says, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' And it was done three times to drive home the fulfillment and the fullness of the fact that what God has declared as worthy, as special, as elected, don't you go and interfere with that election." Listen, all I'm trying to prove to somebody today is that our perspective on ourselves is the only thing that can destroy our confidence in being those chosen by God. It's when we talk ourselves out of who we are and the confidence that we should have as the sons and daughters of God. It's when we deny ourselves the status that he has declared for us. We are interfering in our own election. Somebody needs to recognize that if God has called you, if God has chosen you, if God says that you're worthy, if God says it, you better believe it, and that ought to settle it. I wish somebody would help me out right here. Listen, our favor, our worth, our status, our blessing, blessings are all because of God's choice, God's designation, God's election, His choosing of us. It's not you. It's not who you are. It's not what you have to do. It's not how you perform. It's not your works. It's a work and a choice by grace of God and God alone. And since that status has nothing to do with our work, it's not predicated on us having enough sense to choose to do the right things. It's not dependent on our past. It's all about the grace of God. We are who He says we are simply by receiving it and refusing to call common what God says is worthy and worthwhile. So somebody, you need to practice this week. You need to call yourself favored. Every time that heaviness, every time those thoughts come in, anytime those feelings are there about what you're not and how jacked up you are, you need to call yourself blessed. You need to call yourself worthy. You need to call yourself special so that by receiving what God has said about you, you refuse to interfere in your own election because you've been chosen by God. Though you are unworthy, yes, we are unworthy. Yes, we're messed up, but we're chosen specially by God. And we need to know it. We need to practice it. And we need to receive it. Let me pray. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would break every hold of the enemy, every jacked up mindset, every stinking thinking perspective that we have about ourselves and what we're not in our past and what we're unworthy of. And I pray that you would break it right now in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to see and receive our own election by you. Yes, you know what we've done. You know where we've been. You know what we're going to do. And yet you have still chosen us. We are your elect people. And I pray, God, that we would continue to walk in it, that we would not call common that which you have called worthy and special. So, Lord, right now, help us to live it out, to talk it out, and to be about our Father's business because we've been chosen by God. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody needs to receive it. Somebody needs to practice it. You need to call yourself favored. You need to call yourself blessed. You need to call yourself worthy. You need to walk in your own specialness because if God says it, you and I better believe it, and that ought to settle.